God bless those who seek and find their Creator through the It Is Written Gospel of the Revealed Word. We find our reason for life in the things that are written in the book with the red letter sayings of Jesus. Brother Ryan here with you once again. And when we need peace and the strength of the Lord's presence, we turn to the words of life, knowing that our shelter from the storm is where we have rest of full assurance. Because of that wisdom from above and by the perfect love that casts out all fear, even if the world and its institutions, even if that gets shaken to the core, there is a Holy Spirit at hand to lead and guide. There is indeed a prophetic river that flows out from the very throne of God and the Lamb. In the Revelation vision of John's description, Revelation 22 and verse 1, that gives us a picture of hope for a better day when we shall see his face and will be identified with his name written upon the forehead, which is to say we'll think as the Lord does, being a reflection of the light that shines forevermore. And Christians have been holding on to that hope since the Bethlehem birth, and it sustains us now. So I pray that we all of us together from whatever assembly we share fellowship with, I pray that we all keep our belief of the heart vital and alive. Just like to speak on the final part of Pillars of the Gospel, and many thanks to Brother Andrew and Brother Jesse and all those who support, aid, and abet their faith and efforts in seeking out eternal truths and looking to the life that ever was and always will be in Christ. As this topic, it's prayerfully just a daily reminder to keep on walking in Jesus' name. It's a daily walk, a need for our daily bread of the Lord's Prayer, for we all have a desire within to be part of the body of Christ, one of his remnant seed. And along the way, we speak to many doctrines and prophetic interpretations. But here in the sharing of faith for the sake of the church at large, I just wanted to glorify God's name for the good of us all and get down to the basics of who we are in Christ, the elements of the gospel that every other doctrine and interpretation that provide the foundation to everything that God intends us to be, that we are firmly founded in. And he intends us to be like him, with love unfeigned and true, for us to love mercy and walk humbly with him. So the great matters of prophecy, they're certainly there to keep us forging ahead and to make sure we don't limit our own growth. And we're all responsible to that one word commandment of watch, the one word commandment of Mark chapter 13 and verse 37. So we should keep an eye out for the signs of the times and the appearing that is appointed when Jesus returns and walks through the eastern gate that faces the Mount of Olives there at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, currently under the control of the Muslim authority as to governance and worship rites. But God will get that done at the sounding of his voice and at the completion of his promises. Now we have a part in that completion, and that's central to our mission and calling. We have a place that God has given us, but the responsibility for all matters prophetic are his. The government is upon his shoulder, of Isaiah 9:6. Only we can make ourselves into the type of people that God desires to be with for the rest of eternity, and that only comes about with help from above. As the great potter at the wheel of Jeremiah 18 breaks us down and builds us back up into something better, a vessel good to every purpose under heaven. And we need to become better vessels, but only we can agree to become so by acceptance of principles set in place from ever there was. And we've entered into the labors of those who have come before us, and they in turn entered into the beliefs and efforts and labors of those who came before them, all the way back to Adam, whose example and teacher was the Lord himself. So then it follows that any wisdom I have comes from above. Any wisdom that you have, it proceeds from a rock that is higher than I, or higher than we are. And it's set in place from the source of all righteous knowledge that created it all in the beginning. And we're here to agree with those thoughts, the thoughts that framed the worlds at the start of existence as we know it. And God has given us what we need to find him. It is a straight gate, and it is a narrow way, to be sure. So we can find our source of truth in Christ. And I'd like to find the source of truth for our scripture reading in Proverbs chapter 9, knowing that there's nothing impossible with God. We can be what the Word makes us to be. You can find him in his Word. You can find God and his love expressed through the words of Jesus, as Jesus is our absolute of truth and wisdom. So as we look to Proverbs chapter 9, I'd like to remind all of us, including myself, that true wisdom is found not in the ability to understand complex issues, but to find knowledge in the simple basics of faith. Jesus went about teaching in parables just for those very reasons. In Jesus' earth walk, he didn't instruct people in the sciences of nuclear physics or show people how to build rockets and put satellites into orbit. God's not impressed with any of that. What he is impressed with is a willing heart and the actions of faith. That's his wisdom. And he inspired a word that was good for all generations, as the Bible is accountable to those generations of the past, as well as the present and the future. But to all generations, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those are eternal qualities that never pass away. Foundations of faith and wisdom are at the core of eternal life. So as we look to Proverbs chapter 9, we read, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars." And I thought of this scripture in the title of these lessons as the pillars of the gospel. "She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled." You'll notice that those are the elements of communion contained in verse 5, the bread and the wine together. And then verse 6, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." So from the Genesis beginning to Revelation ending, God has used the number 7, as we see the house of seven pillars here. He's used the number 7 as a symbol of perfection and the finished work. That starts in the beginning with the 7 days of creation and continues into 7 messages to the churches in Revelation, 7 seals, 7 vials, 7 thunders of his voice to put the finishing touches on the plan of the ages. And it's proclaimed here as a foundation to tell us who God is, because God is the God of the completed work, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the great architect, mathematician, who held the measuring line in his hands in Job 38:5. And then having done the math, then he built the universe and the universe of universes that dot the nighttime sky. And by his companion wisdom, which as written here in Proverbs 8, notably, wisdom is given the female designation because she will become the source to the bright elect, and those things are established. So thus, to go in the way of understanding is to follow this provided way, and certainly not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. There's always a danger in that, for we're set before the church as pastors and guides, those of us who have responsibility in administering the, church and the Ephesians 4:11 foundation. But we're not absolutes, but the Lord is. So we preach absolutes to the best of our ability, but in so doing, we realize that without God, we're nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And that's humbling as we appreciate our place in Christ. It's a position the anointed cherub of Ezekiel 28 did not accept, whose creation was greater than ours. It's a position that the same Son of the Morning of Isaiah 14 and verse 12 did not take when he said within the heart of his being, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. Well, he certainly was not like the Most High in humbleness, who was created and born a little lower than the angels in terms of their order of their creation in the Bethlehem birth. Then, in order to defeat the one who is wiser than Daniel, I don't say that in praise, I'm just repeating what the prophet Ezekiel said of the anointed cherub, God had to devise a perfect plan that'll work together for good to those who love his name and yet not violate free will choice between the two sources of self-indulgent evil and the spiritual and eternal force of love toward God and one another, symbolized there in the book of Genesis by the tree of life in Eden and the opposite source, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God would form a perfect plan in the It Is Written Gospels and through the prophets and apostles of old. And that's what the house of seven pillars of Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1 is. The perfectly proportioned balance that weighs out all matters evenly and justly. Now some will be found wanting, having a lack of character and judgment, being haughty and pride-filled, like as was Belshazzar of Daniel's day, who saw the handwriting on the wall of the palace there when he used the instruments of Israel's temple worship to celebrate with 1,000 of his lords in the feast of Daniel 5. But we have better than that. We've got a word written that keeps us away from the judgment words that were written upon the wall to Belshazzar. So in expounding on that thought, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. We'll start at verse 15. As to follow our given and written foundations, the pillars of our faith is to follow the perfect way. It's beautiful. It preserves the individual, but yet it brings us together so that those who are first are made last, and that we're all in service one to another. And the last are made first, being lifted up to rule and reign with Christ, which is beautiful. And being so lifted up, we sing together with blended voices of perfect harmony with the Lord's will and his testimony. Now here in Romans chapter 1, Paul to the church at Rome, from verse 15, so as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, that first and second generation church that had sprung up in the capital of the Roman Empire. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or the Gentile nations. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel good news of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And to this day and age, so many different segments of Christianity out there. There have been many failures, many abuses, and just mistakes of human nature by otherwise faithful believers. So many dangers, so many stumbling blocks, so many things to be aware of. It is a battle to establish righteousness in this life, especially when we fall short of our aims, and act from impulsive human behavior. But God knows we need the experience of fighting the good fight, so he gives us more grace that we may find him in his word. He builds our faith. The just indeed shall live by faith. So our belief system in independent oneness churches, it goes back a long time. Even to this letter written to Rome, goes back even to Eden and the forming of mankind as living, expressive souls. And in the course of history, Abraham becomes a type of turning point in the story of our belief that would lead to Christ through the generations, but it would be by this principle, the just shall live by faith. And that's the thought that we are founded upon. It's the thought that sparked the Protestant Reformation as our forebears came to this realization, having been kept from it by a fallen apostate church. So it's fitting that this is written in the testimony that's inspired by Paul to be written to the church at Rome. They would need this gospel. They would need these thoughts very desperately in later ages. But there's nothing better than to partake of life by the spoken and then written word. And such thoughts were there before the heavens and the earth, in the beauty of faith lived out and then expressed. Thus the word becomes our bottom line absolute, the platform to build thereon, the rock of our salvation. As God is as good as his word, God is his word. And Christ is that word that is a living declaration of the Emmanuel promise. And Jesus established the church some 2,000 years ago on the calendar, but the rock upon which the church was built is a forever rock. The rock of Christ, written of in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, that was always there, even before the birth of Bethlehem, even before the prophets and seers of the Old Testament. Salvation, then, it was always part of the plan. Faith that justifies us, that was always part of the plan foreseen from the very start by the one who sees from the higher plane of existence, who sees past and present and future all at once by his I am presence. Just as Jeremiah the prophet was told, I knew you before you were born. The Lord foresaw the need to be justified by faith and inspired it to be written. As the Lord of glory knew faith and salvation would be needed, and that a soul redeemed needed to be one of the finished works of the Bible. So he made the plan, he gets the glory for it, and we're all a result of that story. We're all a result of the finished work, and our lives are miracles. But miracles that have foundations, and those foundations stand when all else falls. So be encouraged. Your faith and your labor is never in vain in the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. Shalom, brothers and sisters.